About 1,400 years before Christ, God Almighty gave the command, "Thou shalt not steal." Now jump ahead to modern times, and we find that one of the most common forms of theft is cyber theft, identity theft. And we're going to talk about this whole issue about cybersecurity with Tom Kelly, who is an expert on this and has recently written an article in The Hill specifically talking about the scandal involving Equifax and all of the hacking, the information that came out from the hacking. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Tom Kelly, we welcome you to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, let's start with Equifax. What is Equifax and what happened recently that should be of concern to virtually all of us?
Okay, well, Equifax is one of the three major credit bureaus, and you can't really live in any kind of an integrated life without interfacing with one of these credit bureaus. You know, you apply for a loan, you purchase a house, you purchase a car, get a new credit card, one thing after another, open an account at a store, you know, it goes on and on and on, your PG&E, everybody runs credit reports on you in order to determine whether or not you're going to repay your bills. Now, they gather, these credit reporting agencies gather a tremendous amount of information on us. It's our, what I call our financial footprint. It comes from the financial institutions that they partner with, that they serve, and the fact is we don't give it to them. The financial institutions hand it over to them. So what has happened here is this massive store of information sitting at Equifax. There was a breach there. Somebody hacked into their data servers and were able to extract out information on 143 million Americans, virtually over half the population of the U.S. And if you look at it at adults, it's probably a bigger percentage than that.
Yeah.
And it's serious material. It's the Social Security numbers. It's you know, it's the number that people use to go out and set up new accounts and to make purchases and create credit histories. You start with that Social Security number. It's a very important event, and it's really shed a lot of light on this risk that many of us in the industry have always known about, but this has been highlighted in an extraordinarily large way.
And this includes driver's license numbers. Would it include bank account numbers and PIN codes like that?
To my knowledge, no bank account numbers or PIN codes, but yes, driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers were impacted on this breach. And so the biggest issues here, and of course, when I did my my briefings for Congress, which I did for the members of the congressional staff there in preparation for their hearings that they're going through with the former CEO, you know, the questions that I asked them to think about were, all these companies, Equifax included, they spend a lot of money trying to protect data, and they should be doing that. This is a big industry. It's an industry that I'm very familiar with and part of. And what that industry has come to understand is that no matter how strong the protections that we put in place to protect data, we're thinking now of not if somebody gets through those protections, but all the new products are focused on when someone gets through those protections. Wow. So how do you, in fact, identify that intrusion rapidly so you can remediate equally as rapidly? Yeah. And the problem that I had with Equifax is, A, the length of time it took them to identify the intrusion. Secondarily, once they identified it, how long it took them to let their customers know. That was unconscionable to me. To go 6 weeks or so, or I think it was 4 to 6 weeks before they actually let their customers know that this breach had occurred. And therein, I think, it involves the largest, what I call, break in confidence, break in trust that, you know, an enterprise has with its customers or those whom they should be serving. And, you know, that is also an additional point that your listeners and yourself, we all have to think about that there's standards that we need to be held accountable to ourselves, but also that we expect others to be held accountable to.
Yeah. You said it didn't include bank account information, but would it include credit card information?
To my knowledge, no, that the credit cards were not involved. But of course, until we see the full diagnostics on this, nobody is saying that has occurred yet.
Okay.
So I haven't heard anything. Equifax hasn't announced that. So to date, it's Social Security numbers and driver's license numbers.
Now, is this like a mortal wound to Equifax? Or, I mean, are they going out of business? How does that work?
Well, it's not a mortal wound. They're not going to go out of business. But I think what it does is that it does the following things. First of all, it's going to hurt them. There are going to be repercussions for this. Already when I'm talking to customers and I'm talking to partners out there, Equifax is a name that people are distancing themselves from. Everyone's trying to keep a distance. But there's something called Tri-Bureau Credit Reports, basically a consolidated report that looks at all three credit reports. So Equifax will continue to be in that mix because they are one of three.
Yeah.
And what this has done, though, is it's highlighted both at the governmental level and also the individual level, this whole question of how does this system work and what protections, what should be the standards for both data and what should be the standards for, most importantly, reporting data.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe the government necessarily is going to be able to answer the question of what are the standards for protecting data that live in industry. I think industry is doing these tremendous investments. We got smart people that are building these walls, but there's an awful lot of equally smart, nefarious players out there
yeah.
that are trying to get in. And so the real standard should be, once this happens, what should be the minimum response? How quickly do you let people know? And then what is the response that should take place? Which brings me to the identity protection piece of how do you protect individuals' identities, because we know this is a new risk. This is a risk that we now all are going to live with. And it's not just because of Equifax. It will be that yeah. breach and other breaches yet to be announced.
Yeah, I mean, even in my own neighborhood, there are emails you see sometimes saying, oh, at such and such a gas station, somebody's using a skimmer. I know this isn't exactly the same thing, but it is, basically. It's identity theft.
It is the same thing, one level.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and so
this is
part of the modern world. It's stealing, in this stage. So, by the way, before we get into the security part of the equation that you just kind of circled to or you wanted to talk about, and I'd like to have you elaborate on that, basically for the rest of the program. But just real fast, do we have any idea who did the hacking and what the motivation was?
No, we don't know. But typically, the motivation for these hackers are, in fact, financial. There's a place called the Deep Dark Web. It's kind of it's eBay for criminals. I don't want to, you can go on there and you can buy identities, you can buy credit card numbers, you can buy passport numbers, you can buy driver's license, social security numbers. It's all floating in through there. And so that's where ultimately some of this data ends up going. And there are products that, in fact, that search that and identify
yeah.
this kind of data, and then there are products that doesn't prevent the data getting there, but there are products for, in fact, preventing its misuse, freezing it, changing the numbers, remediating, restoring identities. That's quite frankly what my company does, ID Experts.
Right.
And so we are in that business. We do it for both the federal government as well as individuals and companies.
Just on a personal note, I've had a couple of situations, and again, I think it would be through skimming, whether it was at a restaurant or a gas station, I don't know, but where my credit card information was compromised, and so somebody, I live in Pompano Beach, which is about an hour north of Miami, but somebody in Miami used one of my credit cards and bought something at a gas station up to $99, and that they did that a couple times, and then we were informed about it, and then we realized, oh my goodness, we have to cancel that credit card and reopen a new one with the same thing. But my guess is that if they had purchased something for $100 or more, it would have set off a red flag. But the $99, the vendor thought, oh, that's fine. I'm not sure.
I think that is one of the trigger. I think you're right. That is one of the trigger points out there as well.
Yeah.
It used to be. I think you brought up. You alluded to this point. It used to be that if you went on a trip and came home and your front door is open and your TV's gone, something's gone wrong.
Yeah, right.
And the fact is, it's not as simple as that anymore.
Right.
Our concept of safety is changing, our understanding of what it is to be safe. And so safety, certainly there's a physical security aspect of it.
Sure.
There's common sense aspects of safety, of things that we all just you know, should take for granted and just apply. And we live in a way that doesn't make us paranoid, but we try to keep ourselves safe.
Sure.
Well,
all right.
Digital condition is a much broader issue for us.
Right, and more complicated. Okay, we have 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
Go ahead and speak safety, speak solution.
Well, one of the things that this breach should advise everybody is, first of all, pay attention to your digital safety, your cyber safety. And what does that mean? Well, use good password hygiene. What's that mean? It means change your passwords. Make sure that they're not the name of your cat or your dog. You know, make sure that the passwords are at least some level of complexity.
But then I'll forget them. No, I'm sorry. Go on.
Yeah, well, but there are ways to do it. There are ways to do it, but it's something that we need to do. Secondly, is that of the emails that you read and accept and click through, be aware of the websites that you visit. Be cautious about this, because you're leaving a digital fingerprint out there that allows people, the bad actors, to try to get access to your information. And be aware of, you know, be very cautious about storing certain information in one location where it's all sitting there ready to be plucked out.
Yeah.
These are all little tips. And one of the things that you can do, and this sounds like a little bit of a shameless advertisement, but I don't know how else to, because we really need to identify this, is these identity protection products are important. Our product, MyIDCare.com, we provide that service that should you be breached, that we protect you. We go back and restore your identity. We do all the work. We can give you the alerts, all that. And there are other products as well that are out there. A company called LifeLock's gotten a lot of attention of late because they're reselling Equifax. And, the company that breached, their big sales arm is, or big independent seller is LifeLock. You know, everybody, this industry is getting so intertwined, but people do need to pay attention to their digital safety, take care of protecting their identity, and just use common sense. Don't be handing your phone over to somebody to be doing things with it. Don't be letting somebody have access to your computer when they say, hey, we can fix it online for you. Just turn over your screen to us. I mean, there's just a whole, think of it no differently than, hey, I'm just going to come in your house and I'll take care of things and I'll let you know when I'm finished.
Okay.
It's really no different.
MyIDCare.com. Well, we have about a minute left.
Yeah.
What's to be said that hasn't been said?
Well, I'd say first of all, everybody should expect to see more breaches.
Okay.
And they're going to see some big ones. The cyber security world focuses on, historically, was perimeter defense. How do you keep all the bad guys out? Now the focus is as much on perimeter defense as it is on the analytical tools inside to identify the bad person once they get inside. So think of it as the old school was locks on the door. Now it's cameras inside the house. So it's very similar in terms of our cybersecurity. So we don't need to live paranoid, but we just need to live smart. We need to live smart and just understand that all that information we keep on our computers, our iPhones, and the transactions we do is what makes us vulnerable. So password protection is very important. These protection programs, identity protection programs, very, very important.
You know, I have a friend that has actually put all her passwords on her little handheld, her smartphone or whatever, in one of her pages, which I thought was really good on the one hand. But on the other hand, if somebody downloads her smartphone information, if that's possible.
You betcha. If that is not encrypted, that's exactly correct.
Wow.
If that is not encrypted, it's the wallet. Have you ever had your wallet stolen or lost? The first thing you have to do is you got to go out and cancel everything.
What a hassle.
And so it's a similar thing. You know, there are credit freezes. You know, understanding that there's a time to have a credit freeze. You don't want anybody messing it. But, you know, if you're going to purchase anything or sign up for new products, you can't be frozen indefinitely.
All right. We've been talking with Tom Kelly, and he's with ID Experts, and .com for more information is myidcare.com. Plus, we'll also link to his article at The Hill in reference to this whole problem of cybersecurity. Thank you, Tom, for being with us. All the best.
Well, thank you, Jerry, for having me on.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.